Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide, joins us. LT, it's Neil for Lucic. So my question is, for fun, right now, today, you have to fill out your top two lines. Who are they today for the Edmonton Oilers? On which, who's your first line, who's your second line?
Okay, I will go, I'll go McDavid, Dreisaitl, Cassian, and I'll go Nuge with Neil on the left side, and I'll say Chase on because it'll be a veteran line. But I also think Neil could play with McDavid, so there's a lot to tweak. It's fun to think about. I like Neil. I like Neil with McDavid, but I think you keep Leon there.
Yeah, it's you know, it's an interesting conversation how quickly now it feels like, whether it's rather, it feels like there's now, you know, another kind of legitimate second/third left winger in this group, where maybe Lucic is more a third/fourth. Is that a fair assessment to say that most people can agree with?
Yeah, Lucic is a funny player because his possession numbers were good still, but he had, like, his hands were gone. And you know, that maybe it's just that he was in the wrong spot, and maybe he needed I had a guy send me this long letter one time about Lucic needing a right-handed center instead of left. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But it wasn't working here. And I'm a Lucic fan. I really like him as a player. It was not working. I'm sure he was very frustrated. I'm sure he feels like this is a great opportunity to, have a fresh start in the middle of this gigantic contract. So, I wish him well. I hope he does really well. I think the Oilers will have to see that the deal is frustratingly elusive as far as pinning down. But on the face of it, if you're getting James Neal, you're getting out from under that unbiotable contract. Lucic doesn't have to be protected by Edmonton in the expansion draft. It's going to take a hell of a second piece of this trade for people to get negative on it, I think.
Yeah. I'll be interested. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's this when it's all said and done. The Oilers retain 10% of Lucic's contract. So Calgary has 5.4 cap hit after the deal, and Edmonton has 6.35 after the deal.
And that's, you know what? I can see that. I people will probably get upset. But, man, it just sent them to what it was going to take to buy out. Not that you worry about that. Look, the Oilers are I heard you, Jason, say at the top of your show, the Oilers are making this trade to get the 20-goal scorer, and they feel like James Neal is part of the solution. I agree with that totally. Still, you have to consider the expansion draft and the buyout part. And if it is 10%, if it is $600,000 a year, people will squawk, but I still think it's worth it.
Is this an impressive move then, by your perspective, by Ken Holland, that it's something that it's a general improvement of the group, even though it's maybe by feet rather than miles?
Yeah, I think. Look, I'm pretty, depending upon what the other shoe is in the trade, I'm pretty bullish about this. I like Lucic, but I think the Oilers were caught between a rock and a hard place. Lucic is a fine player. He's overpaid. They're up against the cap. They need a skill winger. They can't afford to sign one in free agency. We were talking about Brett Connolly not that long ago. Neal's had one down year, if you look at who he played with the situation he was with in Calgary, with the power play time, it was not ideal. Comes here, he's very badly needed. He's an upgrade on what they had a year ago. This, to me, is a pretty sweet deal by Ken Holland, I have to say, even if they do retain 10%.
Well, it definitely, based on our texters today, is many of them are just like, hail Holland on Positive Friday, because many felt like he hadn't done anything of significance. And, James Neal, Al, you bring up a good point, and Struds and I talked about it as well, that if we look at James Neal and you say, okay, like, you can look at 1 year or you can look at 10 years. And you can say, well, which one's more likely? And it's not even just, like it was 1 year, because he scored 25 the year before and 23 and 31, which is his second highest goal total ever. So you say, is that more of the norm? Like, you say, okay, James Neal's a 20-goal scorer, not a 7-goal guy. Obviously, he has to prove that again, but you would take that bet more often than not, would you not, considering Neil, he's 31 years of age, right? So it's not like he's 35. Like, I looked at his skating last year. I don't think he completely fell off, especially when I heard he was probably maybe not in the best condition to start the season. And I think if you start behind the eight ball, Strud's going to attest to this.
Oh, yeah.
Virtually impossible to catch up.
Well, Strud started behind the eight ball every year he played. So that's not really.
In good shape. Just couldn't have the hands.
But here's the thing. He scored 23, 25, and 7 in his last three. And he's a, like, traditionally, he's a 20 goal guy with 220 shots. This past year, he didn't get a lot of shots. He wasn't on the power play. He wasn't playing with a highly skilled center. The one thing he'll get here, I mean, it's impossible for him to get less than a brilliant center here in Edmonton.
And is that then most likely you have him with Nuge? And is it just a foregone conclusion that Chiasson is getting that sweet spot in the top six?
No, I don't think so. Gregor and I have talked about this. We both like Nygaard as a possible option. Not that he would do it, but if he comes in and plays well, it's possible you could move Leon over to the right side and maybe Benson plays on the second line, Neil moves up to the first line. There's a lot of different options. The thing about Chiasson is he was like a really good power play guy, and he can move up and down the depth chart. Gagne's there, although I like Gagne on a line that's not playing against, you know, really difficult competition. The great thing about the Neil trade is it opens up a lot of different options, but I think we were talking about they had three of a top six. Now they have definitely four of a top six, and then it's a matter of chemistry.
Yeah, the Nygaard one's such a wild card because we've never seen him here. And I know Strud's got scouting reports from people in Sweden. And even Strud's scouting reports, one was very different than the other one.
Yeah.
Right? Which illustrates not everybody's going to view players the same, even scouts. So it will be interesting to see how it unfolds. Quickly, Al, did you last night, the Alouettes, Corey Chamberlain now has tied the CFL record for most losses consecutive as a coach. Forrest Gregg, remember when the Shreveport Pirates came in? They lost their first 14 games of the season. Then they actually won three of their final four, amazingly enough, but they lost their first 14. Ron Lancaster did lose 12 in a row at one point, but I don't know if Chamberlain's got a very good chance to break that record. And yeah. I was surprised a little bit when they hired him. He doesn't seem to be successful as a head coach.
Well, he's dead to me. I think he was the coach for the Rough Riders when they won the Grey Cup, so I can't. He's probably going to set the record. The problem is with going in where he did. I think you need a couple of years, and I don't know if that he has that. I don't know if he has the cachet to have that. But this is getting to be a little serious now, for sure, for Chamberlain. I mean, that's a record you don't want as an organization. You probably want to. You know, you might move on from that. It's get like, is it 0-5 this year now?
For Toronto?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like you're 5 games into the season is early, but it's late too, and they have not, like, they've looked better, but they're still, they can't handle the ball. Like, they can't hold on to the damn ball.
Well, that was, you watch that game, and it was, they were marching up the field, moving the ball perfect, and then the guy just takes a hit, not even that hard, fumbles it. Calgary fumble recovery, returns it for a touchdown. And right there, that was game. It was basically, I was like, okay, now they lost.
Yeah, it was like, I like to watch games that are fun to watch, and that could have been, but the holding onto the ball appears to be a mystery for the Argonauts, and that made it less enjoyable as a football game.
LT, enjoy the weekend. We will chat with you on Monday.
I will. I just want to add one thing, if I may. At the beginning of our segment together, you were talking about this golfer who had a few maladies, nothing major really, and giving him all kinds of credit for coming back. I mean, a guy gets a hangnail in sports, and people make a big deal about it. I don't get it.
Listen, I think if you're healthy enough, you go out and play.
When Jason was listing off all the things that were going on, he had to have surgery, and then they had to go back in and get the plate out of it. I'm like, oh my God, this if he wins, they should make him a statue, right?
It's unbelievable what he went through. I was reading up on his story, and you know, now granted, that's 8 years ago, but still, brain surgery is brain surgery. That's not, you know, it's not knee surgery, right? Like, it's your brain, and that's severe. And then the fact that you have an allergic reaction to the adhesive, like, unbelievable. I didn't even know that was a thing.
that's bad luck, too. Like, of all the things to get, you know, and thank God they caught it. But anyway, boys, have a weekend.
You betcha. Have a good one. That's Alan, a.k.a. Low Tide.